I want to take a text today from Luke chapter 15. And I know this would be familiar with us starting verse 17. I'm kind of going into the middle of this story here. It's a story that we call the prodigal son. And I'm kind of breaking in here rather than reading the whole chapter, most of the chapter. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Thank God for compassion. And the father and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. This was the attitude of the young man. I don't deserve to be able to come back home. I don't deserve to be able to be here. I understand that, Father. And I'm really coming back with an attitude of just being a servant. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son, not my servant, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I don't know exactly how to title this. I'm not good at titles. But I want to preach on kind of this subject. This is my heritage. Don't sell it. This is my heritage. Don't sell it. I know we've all read these scriptures many times, and I'm sure you've heard it preached on more times, and maybe you can remember the story of the prodigal son. But with your permission this morning, I would like to take just a little while to preach a message that may have just a little different slant on this, an angle on what you have heard before. We look at this and we find here in the scriptures things that are maybe be just below the surface as we look at them. And I want to talk about them today. I know the norm would be that we preach about the lost son. He is usually the center of the message. He is the one that we point in that direction about. I've heard and preached a few sermons and heard many good sermons on the prodigal son or the lost son. And then if you read on from where I left off, you find there's an elder brother also involved in this. And the elder brother really had a little attitude problem about things. And help us never to get the spirit of the elder brother. And so we could preach about the elder brother. We could preach about the lost son. And then there's the father that's also involved in this and the dad that stands there. And then I often say, then there's the unspoken person, and that's got to be a mother if there's a son and a father. And she's not even mentioned in there. There had to be a mother and maybe a sister and other brothers. We don't know, but they are the unspoken ones that we just know probably were there. And I want to preach not about the lost son or the elder son or the father necessarily. I don't want to preach about maybe the mother that wasn't there. But today I want to preach about the farm. The farm. Y'all got farms around here, I hope. I know I've got your attention now. I'm going to preach about the farm, and I want to relate the farm as my inheritance and my heritage. You see, when that younger son left, he was given his portion. Is that right? When he left, he said, okay, I want to go, Dad. And Dad reached down the billfold, handed him a couple $100,000, and away he went. As far as it looked like, that boy had taken his inheritance and he had walked away from his parents, from his friends, amen, from his family. And the Bible said he went out and spent that money how? Riotously. Amen. He spent it on this and that and the other. In every type of sin, no doubt that they had in that day. But you see, there came a time, amen, when he had to look at himself as he really, really was. I pray today, if you have ever lived for God and you have backslid, I reach for you this morning. Amen. I just want to tell you that the inheritance is still here. And you can have it if you want it. Hallelujah. Now, I am extremely nervous today for some reason. I've got it right at 60 years of preaching, but every time I get up to preach, I get nervous. It bothers me. Now, one, because I have such great ministry with me here and because of what he has represented. But I'm going to preach by the help of God and by the grace of God. Hallelujah. You see, the inheritance of the farm was not just from the father, especially in that day. Amen. It went back to the grandfather and the great-grandfather and the great-great-grandfather. It was something that was given to them, amen, by the hand of God through the prophets and the men of old. It was not something that could be lightly taken. It was of very importance. Let me tell you what, the heritage of the apostolic message is not something to be let go lightly. For we have been given the very greatest experience that man could ever have. Amen. I'm not selling my inheritance. I'm not doing away with my inheritance. I've made up my mind. It was given to me by the grace of God, and I'm going to keep it no matter what comes my way. Now I'm beginning to feel a little bit better.
Hallelujah.
See, there's something about that thing that we have received is not something that we receive without a lot of effort and a lot of work. When that farm was first brought into existence, there was all kinds of rocks and maybe trees and all kinds of debris. And that old man, I'm sorry, I can only preach up here so long. And that great, 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 great grandfather may had nothing but an old mule and an old single plow, but he hooked that old mule up to that single plow. He got out there plowing, and the sun was hot, and the sweat was rolling. You say, what does that have to do with me today? I want you to know that I stand on the shoulders of men before me and women before me, that they got out and they plowed the hard ground. They plowed the difficult ground. They had to get the old rocks out of the way. Friend, we come and we've got every luxury there is, but our heritage goes back to people who came and they were in tent meetings and they were in brush harbors and they came by old wagons and my mules, but they came to bring a message of truth and life. I'm here to tell you, you're not going to sell my heritage cheap. You're not going to take what God has given me and let it go. I'm going to fight for my heritage. No, I've never plowed with a mule, but I've seen a few. I've met a few people that reminded me of. I'll leave it right there. But I can, I remember, you know, I'm not an old preacher. I'm just old. I remember in Arkansas, we had brush harbor meetings. How many's ever been to a brush arbor meeting, a real brush arbor meeting? 1, 2, 3, 4. Y'all don't know what you're missing. But just out there, and all we had was some brush laying over some maybe timbers or something just to keep the sun off. But I want to tell you, those old brush arbor meetings, they get up and they start preaching, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." I want you to know we still need to preach that old apostolic message. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." We got too many people that only love God on a Sunday morning, and they don't love God any other time. But I'll tell you my heritage. Amen. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." Friend, you gotta love him from the top here to the bottom there.
and from fingertip to fingertip. It's not just when things are going good. It's not just when he blesses you. Amen. Love him in the hard time. Love him when you plow on the ground.
Don't sell my heritage. Don't you give away cheap. That flag that's on my shelf there, it's probably of little value to a lot of people. But there's not enough money in the world to buy it. You mean you wouldn't sell it for $1 million? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't, honestly. I wouldn't sell it for $5 million. There's more of a relationship, amen, between me and the man, amen, that brought that flag to me. And the yell shut to my eye. I'm telling you, my love for this heritage is greater than to sell out for some little cheap, amen, experience. I'm not going to sell out just to have a bigger crowd. And I'm not going to sell out just to have more entertainment. I've made up my mind, amen, that farm, that heritage, I won't give it up. Now, whether you believe in hunting or not, I enjoy deer hunting. Have I been successful? Not much. That's the reason I am in deer hunting and not deer harvesting. But I deer hunted on some property up around our city there. And it was very good deer property. And there was some very nice deer taken from the property, though I never got one. But there was a big corporation come in, and the farmer was offered such a big amount of money that he sold the farm. Now you have to understand, I was a pastor for, seemed like a couple hundred years. You can't buy my heritage. No, no. It's getting mighty quiet in here right now. No, no. If I've got to change this message to make you happy, you're going to be one unhappy person. Not that I want to make you unhappy, but let me tell you what, I'd rather you be unhappy with me than him be unhappy with me. I don't want to only love him, I want him to love me. Wasn't there somebody in the book said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yes. What is your heritage? Well, my heritage is this beautiful apostolic message of the oneness of God. That's my heritage. Brother Glenn was very good friends with my sister, and my sister at one time was my pastor, and my sister both. I know that was troublesome times for her. I remember the love that she had for this message. Yes. I remember my mother who had such a love for this message. Now, I'm slowing down on purpose. You see, I am what I am because I had somebody that cared enough for me to hand something down to me. I was awakened more than one night or morning at 2 or 3 in the morning by the prayer of a mother. It wasn't a prayer of asking God for this or that, except she'd pray, God, take care of my son, Robert. And I want to tell you what, when you got a mama that wakes you up at 2 in the morning, and you hear her praying and travailing about you, you say there's something really genuine about what mama's got. I am here today because somebody cared for me. You're here today because somebody cared for you. But there is a trend that it seems to be slipping in about the heritage is not that important. But I'm here to tell you that the heritage is very, very important. From 1 Kings 21, we find the story of Naboth and the vineyard there at Jezreel, and how the king Ahab said, I want your vineyard. I want to take it. Listen to me now. I want to make it a place of herbs. Now, the vineyard was a place of raising grapes for wine, which was a substance of life. Amen. The herbs was only a side thing and had no real value to it. Oh, but Naboth said, let me tell you what. What I have, that little vineyard, may not seem like much, but it came down from my daddy and from my daddy's daddy. And you can't have my vineyard. I don't care. You can offer me money. You can offer me fame. You can offer me what you want, but it's my vineyard. And I will not sell my inheritance or my heritage. Now I'm going to get a little personal. You see, if the devil can't get you to sell it, he'll try to get you to trade it. That's what old King said. I'll buy it or I'll trade it. I'll give you a nicer one, but there isn't anything nicer than the inheritance you have. Well, I'll give you one that's a little more beautiful. I'll give you one that's a little closer to where you are. No, no, friend, there is nothing more valuable than this wonderful apostolic inheritance. I thank God for this inheritance. And I'm going to preach a little bit this morning, amen, about the need of keeping the inheritance of prayer. I don't want what my mother showed me in her hours of prayer just somehow drift away. But I got to understand, if I'm going to stay, I've got to learn to pray. Not just now I lay me down to sleep, or God is great and God is good, but I need to have an effectual, fervent prayer that comes from the deep of my heart. God, I love you more than anything in this world. So we find that when Ahab could not get the king's, but get Naboth's vineyard, he went to the queen. Now I'm going to really get in trouble on this one. When men won't be men, there's always a Jezebel that'll try to tell you what to do. I'm just going to leave it there. Oh, Lord. So what would it take if somebody could get your heritage, your inheritance from God? As the pastor said, some of you are not the third or fourth or even maybe the second generation in apostolic truth. I understand that. And that is great that we're getting more people into the apostolic truth. But I'm going to tell you, you can start a heritage that you can pass on, as he has said, to your generation after you. But they got to know it means something to you. Here I go. You see, some people think, well, you know, if I just go to church once in a while, that'll be fine. If I just, you know, support the church a little bit, that'll be fine. No, that's not a heritage. A heritage is something that becomes a part of you, and you become a part of it. You need to get involved in the church. You need to get involved in the things that are going on. You need to be there. If there's work day, be there. If there's prayer meeting, be there. If there's Wednesday night, be there. If there's outreach, be there. Oh, you're preaching now, brother. You're preaching. Why? Because it's a part of my heritage. I want to be there. It's a part of me. You see, when the prodigal son came home, if, somebody say if. No, somebody say if. If the father would have sold the farm. If the father would have done away with that inheritance. The prodigal son would have had nothing. Nothing. Nothing to come home to. They may have kept the same name over the gate. Rice farm. Who'd want to have a farm full of rice? Unless you're in Arkansas. I hope you know what I mean, brother. They can keep the same name over the door. That doesn't mean it's a part of the heritage. That doesn't mean it's a part of the inheritance. Thank God I felt good when I walked in this church this morning. I never doubted it, but I knew that there was still one God, Jesus name, Holy Ghost, tongue talking, eye running, hand clapping, devil chasing apostolics here. I knew there would be a standard of holiness and righteousness, because he wouldn't say, it's my inheritance. Amen. I'm going to believe what they handed down to me. I'm going to hold up the banner they gave to me. I'm going to stand on the ground they gave to me. And Naboth said, you can't have. Heaven, Ahab, you may be the king, but I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, you have to understand that your pastor, now he had no idea what I'm going to say. You have to understand your pastor has a responsibility to bring to you what is included in your heritage. That's a responsibility. The man of God is not just another man. Oh, I'd get touchy on that, don't I? I know there's been all kinds of, I'll use the word scallywags. I hope that's not a bad word. Nowadays, I don't know what's bad and what's good sometimes. But there's always been those kind of preachers. But I'm going to tell you, while there's been some of those, there's been a lot of preachers, amen, that have stood firm on the word of God. And I believe you got one here, and you need to stand behind him and say, come on, Pastor Rice, let's keep the heritage going. Let's go that these children will grow up to be one God people. They'll be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. One man said, it's better to build a fence around the dangerous cliff than to have an ambulance waiting at the bottom. Thank God for a preacher that will say, this is a part of our heritage. This is how we live. This is what we do. This is how we do it. Amen. Then to say, well, I'll wait till you fall off and then I'll try to rescue you. No, there is nothing wrong with having fences in your life. I have another message I preach. On guardrails. You ever been driving down the road and see a guardrail? That guardrail is not for you to run into. It's for you to stay away from. It's to keep you from going over the hill and down the cliff and become a statistic about somebody that died. I'm going to tell you what, the book's got a lot of guardrails in it. It's got a lot of fences. Amen. And when that preacher preaches it, he's not there just trying to be hard and difficult. He's trying to give you a line of heritage that you can pass on to these kids. I tell you, it is a joy. It is a joy. Amen. To watch your 4-year-old granddaughter, just turned 4 in November, got the Holy Ghost in December, I think it was, 4 years old. I'm talking about 20 minutes in an altar talking in tongues as the Spirit give the utterance. That is a joy, friend. That is a joy. You can't make them talk in tongues. Oh, they may sometimes jabber a couple words, and I know sometimes little kids, they mimic it. You know, when they're 2 or 3, that doesn't bother me. It's when adults do it that bothers me. When that little Shaylin started talking in tongues, boy, we let go. Woo! Why? Because the heritage was coming from me, through my mother to me, and now to Anthony, their daddy, and from Anthony to Shaylin. Amen. And it was just being passed on. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, there is a heritage that we have so much to be thankful for. Oh, you say, well, it's so hard living for God. According to the Bible, there's a more difficult way. For the Bible said, the way of the transgressor is hard. All right.
Come on.
I'll tell you what, this place could make you. Some of you guys need to give this church about $1 million so they can build a new billion around it. We would start with 500,000. Hey, I know, I won't be back. I'm going to tell you what, there's enough money right in here to start a great building fund for this church. If we just could get your cell phone bills or your internet bills. How did I get on this subject? See, our church has always heard me talk about money. Oh, they hear me talk about money when I was pastor. Well, you know, Jesus probably talked as much about money as he did about sin. Getting quieter in here. You're not taking it anywhere. If you know, if you die, you're not taking it to hell and you're not taking it to heaven. Might as well let the kingdom of God enjoy it. Woo! Everybody wants me to quit, say amen. But you see, that pastor has that responsibility of keeping that heritage going, as I was talking about our granddaughter. And one of the heritages we have, I'm not going to get to all, is healing. This same little granddaughter, how old was Shaylin when she went to the hospital and we thought was going to, 9 months old. Little beautiful, had to be beautiful, took after her grandmother. But this little girl, all of a sudden, it was at church, they was home and took her from the hospital. They took her in and there was something wrong down inside here, and they thought for sure that they were going to lose her and the doctor could give them no hope. So we found out, we was at church, and man, when we found out, we just had, they just about closed the door of the church and we all went to the hospital. We got in that waiting room where you're supposed to wait, and brother, we didn't ask permission, but those apostolics started praying. I'm sure the doctors heard it. The nurses heard it. Security probably heard it. We didn't care. There was a little 9th, 10th month old baby in there that they didn't think was going to make it. Thought she was going to die. They told Chas and them, we don't know if we could do anything. They started to do a trach. Is that what they call it when they cut the hole in there? And hear this little darling baby. And man, it's going rough. But oh, prayer was made. It's a part of our heritage. How many's ever been healed by God? Come on. See that, devil? You haven't got it. We still got a heritage of healing. I won't go through the whole story, but she just had a birthday. She's 15, and she plays the keyboard at church all the time. Amen. Just a lovely girl. Takes after her granddad now. I'm telling you, there is a miracle of healing that's still in the church today because somebody kept it alive with faith that's going on.
Hallelujah.
This young lady that I've been married to, going on 55 years, amen, when before we were married, they said she had tuberculosis. Some preachers came by the house, amen, and they prayed for her, and God took the TB out of her life. I'm telling you, we are glad for the heritage of God. No, it's not the man. It's faith in a God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just a few years ago, amen, they said she had cancer. We didn't tell anybody. We told hardly anybody, just our son. But I want you to know she went back just a year or so ago. I'm sure I forget about the dates. Amen, but the doctor looked at her and said, you're free of cancer. Don't come back. Everything's fine. Come back in a year. Or two. I'm telling you, thank God for the heritage of healing, signs and wonders and miracles. Anybody here been healed of cancer? Stand up. Anybody been there? Some cancer healers. Come on. I'm telling you, it's our heritage. If you've been healed of cancer, stand up. Thank you. You say, well, what's so great about that? You get cancer and you'll find out. They call me Bishop at home. That's the title they gave me. And I'm going to tell you, the bishop's going to tell you right now, thank God for fences that are built. At least you know which way to go. Did you ever see an old cow go up to a fence? Got beautiful green grass on this side. Stick its head through the fence to get to the same kind of grass. Maybe not as good. And some of them get hung up in the fence. They always told me, now I don't know. They told me that the grass is greener over the septic tank. You don't need to look for greener grass. You got all you need right here. Well, I'm going to have to bring this to a close. Satan will say, well, that's too old fashioned. That's what you had this morning in our singing was old fashioned singing. I was off key more than I was on key. My wife probably made a few mistakes on the accordion. I know I did the guitar. But we weren't singing for you.
Come on.
We were singing for the glory of God. Some of you may have heard our story. If you have, Please allow me to mention this again as I get ready to close. We have two boys. Youngest one is Anthony. He's 42. He is pastor of the church, as it's been said. Our oldest boy will be 48 in just a few days. Our oldest boy's name is Robbie. Real name is Robert Jason. He goes by Rob. My wife and I didn't think we could have children, so we adopted Rob. He wasn't quite 3 years of age, and he had been raised from corner to post, back and forth. His real mother didn't want him. She just wanted the money she got from the government for the child. He could stay anywhere. Didn't make any difference. We heard about Rob from a friend of ours, and we were pastoring in Iola, Illinois at that time. If you don't know where Iola is, it's out in the country. You think this is country. We drove to Chicago to get him. Dark hair, dark eyed, cute little kid. Won't take the whole story, but when Rob got a little older in his young teen years, Rob wanted to do his own thing. God had filled him with the Holy Ghost. He'd been baptized in Jesus' name. He got his life messed up. Drinking. Few drugs. Sad situation. But you see, I remember Rob sitting on the front seat. A church was trying to start in South Carolina. Rob, he couldn't carry a tune. Still can't. But that little boy would sit there with his little dress shirt and tie on, and he would sing with all of his heart. Just 3 or 4, 5 years of age. Later, as I told you, he got messed up. For 10 years, he was tied into crystal meth. Life went down. You see, there's no good out there, folks. To you young boys, young ladies, it's not worth it out there. He went from jail to jail. I'm not bragging. I'm sorry it had to be that way. But even in jail, he'd tell him, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You got to get the Holy Ghost to be saved. Why? Because there was a heritage passed on into his heart and his life. He may not be living it, but he knew it. No wonder the Old Testament writer said, train up a child in the way he should go. I don't think that means he's got to live it, but I do believe that seed's going to be there. 6 years ago, God delivered him from his drugs. 6 years ago, he went back to an apostolic church in Arizona. 6 years ago, God refilled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you see, there had to be a heritage that was still standing. There had to be a church that believed this message so that he could go back to, and there he could find life. Amen. He got rebaptized. He said, Dad, I feel like I need it for a cleansing. He took about 10 of his old druggy friends. They went in. A number of them got the Holy Ghost and got baptized. Why? Because we kept a heritage. Friend, only hope for our world is we do not sell the heritage.
Bob's not living quite where I think he should as his dad and as a preacher, but friend, he's come such a long, long way. And he'll still tell you what it takes to be saved. Not just because of me, but because of his grandparents, because of people that served and gave. I'm going to tell you, folks, the darkest hour in the church is better than the brightest second in the world. There may be someone here that the devil's tried to just through a thought to forsake the heritage. Don't do it. Cleave close to God. And there may be someone, I don't know you at all. There may be someone here this morning that maybe you've let some of the heritage slip away from you just a little bit. Or maybe you've never actually been indoctrinated into apostolic truth. Would you pray with me right now?